This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so tonight's Purim Shir, we'll see how much we can get through. I want to talk about the end of the Purim story, the enigmatic ending of the Purim story. We're all very familiar with the Purim story, and I think what's going to come this evening is a bit of a surprise, certainly in terms of Vashti and Ahasuerus. Of course, the ending of the Purim story is a happy one. We're celebrating in a few days' time. It's a Yontif, it's one of the high points of the Jewish year. We'll celebrate, perhaps this year is slightly muted, but it's a day of celebration, like Hudim, Hoysa'ira, etc. However, for Esther herself, the end is actually very bittersweet. How so? Well, let's take a look. We'll just read the Psukim in the Megillah. Let's look at Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Gimel. If you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com and I'll send you the handout. Vayomer Mordechai, Lahoshiv al Esther. Al tadomi benaf sheikh lehimolet beis hamelech mikol ha-yehudim, ki im hacharish tacharishi. It's one of the most poignant psukim in the whole Megillah. If you remain silent and you don't step up, beis hazos, revach v'hatzol yamad la-yehudim imokam acher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save the Jewish people, but the saving will come from somewhere else. V'atu beis avich tevedu, you'll be lost to oblivion. U'mi yedeyem leis kazois yigat l'malchus. This is your big moment, and don't lose it. V'atoyme Esther l'hoshiv al Mordechai, and Esther replies, Lech k'nois kol Yehudim, I'm going for it. I'm going to step up. Go gather all of Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim b'shushan v'tzumu alai, and fast for me. V'al toichlu v'al tishu shloshes yomim l'ayl v'yoyim, don't eat and drink for 3 days, 3 nights. V'gam ani v'naresai otzum, I will also fast, so too will my maidservants. V'chein ovel ha-melech ha-shaloi kados, etc., etc. V'kashe avadati avadati. Famous words. And just like, I will be lost, I will be lost. We'll see what that means in a moment. And Mordechai went ahead, gathered Klal Yisrael, they fasted for her, she fasted, etc., etc. What does she mean by the words, V'chashe avadati avadati? Says the Gemara in Megillah, Tez Vav Amud Aleph, the next box. Ada sheloi kados, Omer Rabbi Abba, sheloi kados hoya. I.e., shebechol yom v'yoyim adach shav ba'inis. Till now, she was in a situation of onus. She was forced to live with Ahasuerus. V'achshav v'rotzen. But now, when she initiated that meeting, it was no longer in the category of onus, of forced, it was b'rotzen. And halachically, that's a different ballgame. Because she is going to commit adultery, b'rotzen, which means, kasher avadati avadati, kashem she'avadati mebeis abo, kach oved mimeko. Which means, according to the opinion which says that Esther was married to Mordechai, she could no longer stay married to Mordechai because she is willingly engaged in this relationship and therefore her marriage was over. So what is the postscript of the Purim story for Esther herself? It's tragic because she remains married to Ahasuerus. She is no longer able to be married to Mordechai. She has a child with Ahasuerus. The child is, of course, Jewish. The mother is Esther Hamalka. This child, Daryovesh, Darius in English, is halachically 100% Jewish, but he grows up to all extent and purpose as a Persian king. And you can just picture Esther Hamalka living with Ahasuerus, who is described in Chazal as worse than Haman, and living in the palace, away from Klal Yisrael, and picture her putting her child to bed at night, whispering in her, Hamalach, and saying Shema with a little baby, and saying, you're Jewish, Blai Bayid. So it's a very tragic end. And yes, Daryovesh, he marries Persian women. Yes, he gave permission to build the Beis Hamikdash, but it wasn't the nachas, I suppose, that Esther was hoping for. So for Esther, the end of the Megillah is actually tragically sad. Now, what about Ahasuerus and Vashti? So I came across something for the first time this year. There's a sefer called Pirsumei Nisa, and someone showed me this sefer, and he quotes something quite astonishing, which I just was not familiar with. That's a bit of background first. There is a Tosfos HaSholim, one of the Baalei Tosfos, in the Gemara in Yuma Daf Tes. The Gemara there refers to someone, a Tana, called Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta. Now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta is a very unusual name. It literally means Rabbi Yochanan, the son of an ox. Turta. So the Tosfos Shonim says, what is the background to this unusual name? The Tosfos Shonim refers you to a Pesik de Rabati, a Medrash, which says that this Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta was converted to Yiddishkeit as a result of an incident with a para, with a cow, and that's why it's called Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta. So what is this incident? So here's the Pesik de Rabati. If you look at the next box, Omer Rabbi Sein, my Sahoya be Yisrael Echad, Shehoya le para achas chereshes. There was a Jew, a Yisrael, who had an ox that would plow the field. Nismayat yodai, times became difficult. He had to sell the animal, and he sold it to a certain non-Jewish person. The non-Jewish person, the new owner, worked the animal for 6 days. This non-Jewish person wanted to work on Shabbos as well. Why not? He took the animal out, and the animal just crouched down and refused to work. He hit the animal. The animal wouldn't budge. He's not working. He went back to the seller, this Jewish fellow. Go take your animal back. I'm hitting it. I'm shouting at it. The animal's not budging. You've sold me a dud. I want my money back. Next paragraph. This Yisrael understood. This animal was used to working 6 days a week and resting on Shabbos. Don't worry, I'll come to the field and I'll get it to stand and continue working. He went over to the cow and he whispered in the ear and said, "Para para, my dear animal, at yedas kashayisa b'shusi hoyisicharesheshimeachol b'shabbos hoyisinenoyach." When you were in my ownership, when I owned you, for 6 days a week you worked hard, and on Shabbos you rested. But now my sins have caused to sell you, and now you're in the possession of a non-Jewish person. You're allowed to work on Shabbos. So get up and start working. Immediately the animal got up and started plowing. He says, take this animal back. What did you say to this animal? I was hitting it, shouting at it, and nothing happened. He said, look, there was no magic over here. And the kach v'kach hamasis says, "Oh no, this is what I said to Avom deVachosha. I just whispered in the ear what I just said, i.e., that now you're in the possession of this non-Jewish person. You should be working 7 days a week, not 6 days a week." Last paragraph: Miyad nisiyare hagoy. This non-Jewish owner suddenly got very worried. Omar, he said the following: Uma im parash ein lo leisicha v'leidas. If this animal, this ox, has no das, has no intelligence, and cannot talk, Hekira es ba'ira, and yet recognizes its creator. Ani she yitzrani yitzri bidmusai. I am created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nosen midas, and I've got intellect. Eini ha'ilechu makir es ba'iri. Shouldn't I recognize my creator as well? Miyad bov v'nizgaya. So this non-Jewish animal owner converted. V'lomad, and he learned Torah. V'zocha l'toira v'hoyu kairim shmo yeichanan ben turta. He was Yochanan ben Turta. Interesting medrash. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta, that is referred to, he converted, and he was known as Rabbi Yochanan ben Turta, based on this incident. Now, what's this got to do with Purim? So take a look at this. The medrash, and this medrash is brought by the Pesumei Nissa, but it's a medrash brought in many places. It's the Yalkut, and the Ein Yaakov brings it, and other sources. Vashti, Hamarshas, the wicked Vashti, Nerega Be'etzim Yom HaShabbos. She was killed. This whole story, the beginning of the Purim story, she was killed on Shabbos. She refused to come to the Sud of the Melech, and he killed her. When did that take place? On Shabbos. Why? Shebamidah she'odam meidid bo'am meidid in lo'i. Because it's tit for tat. That's how it goes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays you back in kind. How so? Mishum shehoysed Vashti harsha mevia b'nois Yisrael mafshiton. She says the Midrash would bring Jewish ladies and would undress them v'oysed by melacha and would force them to work b'yom haShabbos. L'kach nigzal leha shetishochet b'Shabbos. Her comeuppance was that she was killed on Shabbos itself. Now, says the Pishtum Inissa, quoting the Rama Mipanei, b'sefer gilgulei neshamos l'Rama Mipanei, Kosov. Now, the Rama, we've quoted the Rama Mipanei before. He was a 16th century Mekubal, a Talmud of Ramesha called Devira. He comes up with some remarkable things. But this, he quote in Gilgulei Neshamos of the Rama Mipanei, he says the following: Vashti nisgalgale bahi para. She, after she was killed, she was reincarnated into this ox that we spoke about in this Medrash. Shemoch eisa chosid, that this chosid, this pious person sold, v'loh eisa reitza lachrash b'Shabbos, and she didn't want to work on Shabbos. He vashti, that is actually vashti, ki hi hoisa reitza shiyasu b'neis Yisrael melach b'Shabbos, because she forced the Jewish ladies to do work on Shabbos. So her tikkun, as it were, was to actually now go and work on Shabbos. So the chassid had to sell this animal to a non-Jewish person, and the animal was forced. Vashti was forced to work on Shabbos. Va'oisa goy ha-miskaya, and who was the goy who was miskaya? Alzehu Achashverosh. He was none other than Achashverosh. Va'oz hi tikkun, and that was the tikkun that he needed. Ad kan hashenu. And v'huva dvarav b'seida ha-deiris v'yalkut me'am lo'ez. And this is brought in the Seyd HaDeres and the Yalkut Me'am Lo'ez. So, if anyone asks you, what was the end of the Purim story? You know, you could answer simplistically, well, it was a happy ending, Haman was hung with his 10 sons, and then Achashverosh let off the Jewish, you know, it was a happy ending. But well, actually for Esther, it's a somewhat more enigmatic and tragic ending, and certainly for Achashverosh and Vashti, it's a very strange ending. But one thing that emerges, and there isn't time to do the rest of it, but I'll just finish with this one concept. It's something which we said before, but I think it fits in very well. It's a vart of Elimelech Biderman. I heard it from him. I think it's his idea. I'm not sure who else says this. But I think it summarizes the whole thing. There is a Mishnah. The first Mishnah in Megillah says, Megillah nikris be'echadosar, be'shneimosar, be'shleishosar, be'arbaosar, be'chamishosar, le'pochus v'le'yeseh. The Megillah can be read on the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th of Adar. Now, the Gemara describes how it can be read in certain situations. We, of course, read it on the 14th and in Yerushalayim on the 15th, but it can be read on the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, or 15th. It says Rabbi Elimelech Biderman, if you add up those 5 dates, 11 plus 12 plus 13 plus 14 plus 15, you get, I'll save you, 65. Right? 65. There are lots of names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The two most common names are the Shem Adnus, Aleph Dalet, and Nun Yud, and the Shem Havoya, Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Shem Adnus, Aleph Dalet, and Nun Yud is Gematria 65. The Adnus represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu relating with us, to us, through nature, not through overt miracles. That's the Shem Adnus. Megillah Nikras, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, i.e., the Megillah is all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu relating to us through nature, not through overt miracles. That's the Purim story. There's no splitting of the Yom Suf. There's no Shemen lasting for 8 days instead of one. It's all natural phenomenon. It's just a story unfolding. And therefore, the Megillah can be read on 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, which is through natural means. But not more, not less, i.e. not on day 10 of Adar and not on day 16 of Adar. 10 and 16 is 26, which is the Shem Havoya. Yud and a K and a Vav and a K, those 4 letters add up to 26, i.e. and what is the Yud K Vav K? That represents direct involvement through miracles. i.e. Purim is all about 65 and not 26. It's all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu relating to us through natural phenomena and not through supernatural phenomena. Lo pachas v'lo yeseh, not 26, not through overt miracles, supernatural miracles. And I think that's relevant because that's really what's going on over here. We see the world as you know, natural, but really there's a master plan. The natural phenomena of the Purim story, that there was a king who drinks for 180 days and then he gets drunk. If you drink for 180 days, you're going to get drunk. And then he decides to kill his wife, and we need to find a replacement, etc., etc. No overt miracles, but clearly there is a puppeteer on high who's orchestrating the whole events. That's really what Purim is all about. And you see that there's one huge master plan. How so? Well, we haven't got the whole story, because we're only seeing a little snapshot of the story. You take a step back and you see something much more. You see the end for Esther, you see Vashti, you see Achashverosh, there's Gilgulim, they come back an instant many centuries later in the form of a parah, and he sells it to a god. You know, there's much more going on. But that's all through natural phenomena, and that's really what Purim is all about. There's HaKadosh Baruch Hu running the world. That's really what emerges from all of this. So a very enigmatic ending to the Purim story, and not something we're perhaps always familiar with, but something which I think gives a lot of food for thought. Wish you all a Freilich and Purim.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.